It's the Big Wake Up Call, and time once again we head on over to the World News Center and visit with Bill McSci-Fi. It is Bill McCormick. Good morning, Bill.
Oh, good morning, Ryan. How are you this bright and slightly beautiful day?
I don't know. I'm feeling upbeat and chipper, like exceptionally so, and I don't know why. I've had the same amount of coffee, I've had the same amount of sugar, but I'm feeling just a little bit extra perky.
Yeah, that's been happening to me lately, too. I've actually been having that extra cup of coffee in the morning, and I'm now ready to face the day, maybe, you know, tuck point the apartment building. I don't know.
Sure.
I'll get something done.
When it's extra for you, how many coffees is that?
Well, in my heyday, I used to drink 2 to 4 pots a day.
Not two to four cups of coffee, 2 to 4 pots of coffee.
Yeah, 10 cups per pot, so like 40 cups a day.
Oh, that real, and you're still with us.
And I'm still with you.
Like your heart was literally wired to a pump.
Yeah. Now, if I get up between 6 and 8 cups a day, that's a lot for me.
Yeah.
So
I mean, did you ever have trouble going to sleep, or did you ever stop urinating?
No. No and yes in that order.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Let's move on to fun stuff that doesn't have people, you know, like going, I'm feeling old.
Well, we could do a whole segment on that about I don't like things the way they are compared to the way they used to be.
Get off my lawn.
Right. Okay. Oh, I can't wait.
This is just kind of fun. A company in Pakistan has created Urdu hashtags for the Ms. Marvel cartoon, which was not approved by Disney, not done with them at all. And they are beautiful. They are actually in Urdu. And if you punch them in, and you speak Urdu like I do not. They bring up different images of Ms. Marvel cartoons and images that they did. And they're kind of a violation of Disney's copyright and trademark and a lot of things. But they're being done in Pakistan, where trademark and copyright are kind of, we don't have really strong relations with them legally. Mm-hmm. So basically they're just kind of letting it ride and just, you know, turn the other cheek and smile, because
really?
There's really not a whole lot. Yeah, there is not a whole lot they can do. They would literally have to start out by filing a grievance against the country of Pakistan and then work their way down to what appears to be 3 or 4 college kids who just want to see the TV show.
See, I think my kindergarten class had like a Mickey Mouse painting on the wall and Disney sent people in to squirt bleach all over it.
Yeah, Disney's pretty hardcore. There was used to be a child care center by me back when I lived up on Fullerton on the north side. And they had Disney and Donald Duck and Daffy Duck in their windows. And Disney sent them a cease and desist order with up to $1 million in copyright damages.
Okay.
And I'm like, they're teaching 2-year-olds. How much, you know, whatever.
Right. How many Disney VHS at the time or DVDs did that daycare probably buy to, you know, entertain the kids?
Right. I don't know. I understand you can license the images for your daycare center and it's not an egregious amount of money, but you still have to pay. Otherwise, they will hunt you down and make life miserable for you.
Great.
Yeah,
I want to work in that department for Disney and just make people's lives a living hell.
Yeah, and that'd be fun.
That'd be on my business card. Ryan Gatenby, Disney Corporation. Life, making life hell person. I come up with a better title. That's just the top of my head.
And I think the person who held that title is now working for Lucasfilms and the Star Wars division in Disney.
Yeah, clearly.
Because they've got this whole new Obi-Wan Kenobi show going out, which Kim has seen and she really, really likes. I've seen and I like. I'm not as enthusiastic about it as she is. But something that's interesting is, like, and fans are already starting to point stuff out, is that it's just like the prequels contradicted everything in the first three movies in New Hope for 4, 5, and 6. For example, old Ben says, I've never had a droid before. And in episode 1 of the prequels, he's building his own droid.
Yeah.
Which he then has in episode 4. Very blatant contradictions of the timeline. The same thing is happening with Obi-Wan. And it's interesting because Mandalorian and Ahsoka and a couple of the others are purposely staying away from anything that references the main movie universe. They reference things in it like, oh, look, there's an X-Fighter or, you know, a TIE Fighter or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. There's an X-Wing. There's a TIE Fighter. There's Bob. You remember Bob? He used to carry a water. I don't know what Bob did, but whatever. They're keeping it simple. They don't get into Star Wars canon.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard from several writers, is that's keeping them sane, because there are actually huge books of Star Wars canon written by fans, which are much more accurate than the stuff that they're given by Disney and given by Lucasfilms. So they're trying to sort that out. That's not to say don't watch the shows. Go right ahead and watch them. Do what I do, because I just don't care. Just enjoy the shows. The acting is amazing. They're colorful. The talent is really good. The big problem Disney's having right now is that they went out of their way to really double down on what the Star Wars universe was, especially that which was espoused by Lucasfilms in the prequels. And that leaves you with two divergent superpowers. You've got the Rebels and you've got the Empire, both of which are fueled by single source ideologies that cannot be disputed in any way, shape, or form, that you either obey or you're outcast. And both of them have this kind of eugenics philosophy. They call it midichlorians, but basically it's like you either have this cool gene or you are a lesser person. Gee, that doesn't sound like anything really bad politically that's happened in this world, circa, say, 1939, 40, 41, right in there.
That's just the way to determine if you're a Jedi.
Yeah, well, no, it's not just a Jedi. You're a Jedi ruling class. You have to become a member of the Jedi Order.
Uh-huh.
You move up. And, you know, and the Sith, you are part of the Sith Order, the Emperor's Order. So you're either in or you're out, you know, and it's very cut and dried on what people can and cannot get away with. And they've tried with some of the other shows to kind of downplay that. And now Disney doubled down on it when they brought this stuff back. And much to their surprise, people who think wearing all white uniforms and marching in unison and singing zig, zig, zig over and over and over again might think that's a good idea and be upset that there are people of color and people of different whatever ethnicities and lifestyles in the TV show.
You ever been to that? People ever seen the bar in Star Wars scene? There's all different kinds of people.
Yes, remember, that's a den of depravity or whatever the heck it's called.
Well, yeah, but
yeah,
never seen a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
I knew you would have that memorized for me. Thank you. But yeah, basically,
well, we have it as a drop to refer to the morning show. So
there you go.
But
yeah, so they're running into a problem there that several of the actors and actresses have appeared in shows over the last few years. And now there's this new thing from this one group of quote-unquote fans. It's like, well, why was Gina Carano not given any of the love? And they're like, well, because she's the kind of person we're protecting our cast from. And it just gets ugly, and it goes down this mean rabbit hole. And I think, I was talking to someone who works behind the scenes, and they said simply, there were probably about 450 ways to get around this and make it so that it would work and not have to deal with this kind of backlash. And they said, and she's like, Disney literally sidestepped all of them. It was almost like they went dancing through the cups. You know how when you're a little kid, they put out cups to test your balance so you can walk left and walk right and so on. They kind of went dancing through it and came out the other side and went, yay, didn't touch a one. Yeah, good for them, but who knows? Who knows what they're doing? Who knows? Who cares?
I mean, there's the casual fan, I think, can just watch these and enjoy them for what they are. I don't see how there has to be a well, you're not a real fan, or you would know this, or you'd know that this is out of place. Like, it's like if you claim you are a Star Wars super fan, but then you are torturing yourself into not being able to enjoy the thing which you claim to enjoy.
Yes. Oh, you missed the 30th to your family on the 14th verse of that song. Death to your family now.
Yeah.
You know, and
well,
it's like,
yeah,
all right, chill, dude.
If you work for Buddy Rich, sure.
We don't talk about Buddy Rich. Most of that band is still friends of mine and fans of this show. So his band is still touring.
Sure. I'm just talking. You've heard the Buddy Rich tapes, right?
No, I have not.
Okay. I encourage you to look up the Buddy Rich tapes, which a member of his band like secretly recorded, and it's just Buddy berating his band for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, well, my mom used to date him, so
what?
That's like, yeah, back in the 70s.
Dated Buddy Rich.
Yeah.
Oh, then you have to find the Buddy Rich tapes.
I don't know. I kind of lived through them. So I really don't. Trust me, if you eat the wrong food in front of that guy, you were going to.
Yeah.
But so that's my one claim to weirdness there. But
I'm paying you how much money, and what do you give me out there? Clams! And things like that, and then a lot of naughty words. So you knew Buddy Rich?
A little bit. Obviously, my mother knew him well.
Yeah.
Our paths crossed maybe 3-4 times. And
I mean, he's not the laughing, smiling. Go ahead.
Our fan and legendary drummer Greg Potter is now married to his daughter.
Oh.
Kathy Rich.
No, Buddy's not the smiling, laughing, joking around guy you saw on The Muppet Show having a drum battle with Animal or on The Tonight Show with Johnny.
No.
Like, he's clearly like an amiable guy unless you work for him, and then he's driving his band into insanity.
Yeah. You know what? Let's not go down the Buddy Rich hole right now.
I'd do a whole segment on Buddy Rich. Come on.
He's lost. He's gone. Let's move on here.
Okay.
We were talking a little bit, a couple of quick things. First of all, saw the new one, the new Batman. Not Batman, not a Batman, but the Batman.
Uh-huh.
With Robert Pattinson. A couple of things. First of all, Pattinson is really good. You put him in the cape and the cowl, you believe this guy is Batman. He's got mommy issues up to yang. As Bruce Wayne, he's a little too emo for my taste, but a lot of people loved it. So I'll just shut up and sit in the back. It's a really good show. There's plot holes galore in it, but you know, it's a major market superhero film.
Lot of problems with it when it comes to Batman canon. So we're going to discuss these point by point starting right now. Number one, I actually don't care. This is completely different from Batman, the animated series. Also Challenge of the Super Friends and the Batman play that I wrote in third grade and put on in my backyard.
Yeah, and let's not forget Batman the Musical, which premiered and died in India.
Oh, and I think we talked about that.
Yeah, a long time ago. That went nowhere rapidly. Fortunately, it went nowhere rapidly because it was so painfully bad and wasn't like DC came in and put the stomp on him. It's just like, never mind.
That's why you get Danny Elfman or Mark Mothersbaugh. Then you've got the music.
Yeah, no. Moving back over to Marvel really quickly, they've got an interesting problem, and several of the people I've spoke to behind the scenes have kind of laid this out. And this is the one time you will hear someone who works at Marvel being kind of envious of DC, because as they said, DC's always dark. So all they need to do to get a crossover mainstream hit is lighten it up a little bit, like they did with Aquaman, and still you can get all the dark stuff and everything in there. But it's still dark. They're like, everything they've got is kind of dark. It's kind of, you know, brooding. Like, Marvel, on the other hand, has done all these different things, and now they've got all these different Kevin Feige universes, and they're starting to collide. And that's never been more true than what they're coming up with right now. On the one hand, they've got Captain Marvel coming out, leading the movie The Marvels. Captain Marvel is a very dark character. They didn't shy away from it. They were like, if you were an adult, you could figure out what they were talking about. And if you were a kid, you'd ask your mom and dad, and then you'd have nightmares for a month. So Captain Marvel is a very, very dark character. But her biggest fan in the Marvel universe is Miss Marvel, who's a lovely little girl, who's 13 years old, who just wants to be one of the gang. And by golly, our boy's cute. And they're going to put her in the Captain Marvel movie.
Uh-huh.
And now, how do you make them fit? You know, it's like, on the one hand, they've got Hawkeye. They're coming back with a season 2 of Hawkeye. And one of the things they said is they're going to be involving that. They're getting that out of the Avengers universe and into the Defenders universe, which puts it in there with Daredevil and Kingpin and puts it more of a street level thing, because Hawkeye is a really dark character. And if you remember from the Avengers movies, especially around Endgame, he went off on a stint and just started killing villains worldwide. He was just kill, 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 kill. Oh, kill, kill, kill. You know what? Let's find your family. Kill, kill, kill them too. And so he had a bad hair day. So that fits well with Daredevil in the dark world there. And
sure.
Jessica Jones is coming back. No one will admit it, but they won't deny the fact that they've actually got a production crew working on it. It's like, at some point, if you're paying people thousands upon thousands of dollars a day to build you something, odds are it's getting built.
Probably,
you know, they're not just sitting around having coffee. And Luke Cage looks like that's coming back. I'm not sure what they did. Iron Fist had no martial arts skills and was scripted to be this whiny little guy when the character Iron Fist is the most highly trained martial artist in the universe. I mean, he's beyond Batman. He's beyond Daredevil. He's supposedly this super powered iron, you know, ninja. And in the movie, in the TV show, all he did was whine and act like a spoiled child. It's like,
yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do there.
But I'm excited to hear more of Kingpin.
Yeah, I am too. D'Onofrio is incredible at that role. And it's interesting that I don't know if you saw the in Moon Knight, the villain in Moon Knight, he based his entire personality on the Kingpin personality from Daredevil. He's like, that's it. That's exactly what I need to do to make this work, to show the conflict in the guy that he thinks he's doing good. He just happens to kill everybody in his path on his way to doing something nice.
Right. Well, you know, you got to there's many ways to get to point B or point C.
Yeah. Now, this is something I heard. Actually, I got off the phone last night with somebody, and I thought this might interest you. They are definitely moving forward with Namor. It has not been cast, but they are starting to do script ideas and story ideas. And one of the things they're saying is that they've already decided on this. Namor is coming from South America. They're not even going to try and do Atlantis. There's not going to be any chance of it being confused with Aquaman. And I've seen some of the preliminary drawings and some of the stuff that they're trying, you know, just sketch art and stuff like that. It looks amazing. It looks incredible. And Namor with these Mayan, Aztecian medallions and South American feel to it, it gives it a whole different feel. And, of course, Namor was a little more dark-skinned in the comics, so they can get away with casting someone who's South American, Colombian, Brazilian, and bring them into the fore to play this part.
Sure.
And
well, and then if you're talking Fantastic Four and Hulk, you're bringing them all together.
Exactly, exactly. And Hulk is another one they're having a little issue with. I'm not sure what they're going to do here. They've got She-Hulk coming out.
Right.
Which is a She-Hulk attorney at law.
Really?
Which is a comedy. Yeah, it's a comedy.
Well, that's a good stopping point because, unfortunately, we're out of time. Let's just talk about, you know, my fantasies of Marvel buddy comedies. Let's just put them all together. BillMcSciFi.com, at Bill McSciFi, at Big Wake Up Call, the all-new Big Wake Up Call podcast is where you can find everything. Bill, thanks as always. We'll talk next time.
All right, my friend. You have a good one.
Bye.